This is Friday, the 29th of July, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Ira Melman. I'm in Washington. Coming your way, the U.S. Democratic Party chooses its standard bearer for the next presidential election.
It is with humility, determination, and boundless confidence in America's promise that I accept your nomination.
We have complete coverage for you. Also ahead, there's new information about how comets are created and some self-promotion for us as we talk with a man who changed his life. At least that's what he says he did by listening to our broadcast. All on today's International Edition. Well, Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton urged voters Thursday not to give in to the politics of fear. She vowed to unite the country and move it forward if elected in November. Clinton formally accepted the Democratic Party's nomination at its national convention in Philadelphia. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has more.
On the final night of the Democratic National Convention, delegates were in a mood to celebrate and to make history. Chelsea Clinton, daughter of the 42nd president, introduced her mother, who hopes to become the 45th.
I'm voting for a fighter who never, ever gives up, and who believes that we can always do better when we come together and we work together.
And in a city made famous by America's founding fathers, Hillary Clinton stepped into the spotlight to make some history of her own as the first woman presidential nominee of a major political party.
And so, my friends, it is with humility, determination, and boundless confidence in America's promise that I accept your nomination.
In a preview of the tough campaign to come, Clinton took steady aim at the man she'll run against in November, Republican Donald Trump.
Imagine him in the Oval Office facing a real crisis. A man you can bait with a tweet is not a man we can trust with nuclear weapons.
Clinton vowed to focus on creating jobs and growing the economy, and she pledged to work for national unity if elected in November.
So let's be stronger together, my fellow Americans. Let's look to the future with courage and confidence. Let's build a better tomorrow for our beloved children and our beloved country. And when we do, America will be greater than ever. Thank you, and may God bless you.
Afterward, Clinton was joined on stage by her husband, Bill, and daughter, as well as her vice presidential running mate, Virginia Senator Tim Kaine. The focus on the Democratic convention did not keep Republican Donald Trump off the campaign trail. Trump offered himself as an agent of change at a rally in Iowa.
We can't go for another 4 years of Obama because that's basically what crooked Hillary Clinton is. We can't go for another 4 years of Obama.
With both party conventions now over, the focus is on two presidential candidates with high negative ratings from voters, says veteran analyst Gerald Seib.
It may be a very messy one, maybe an ugly one, maybe a not nice one. I mean, I think a lot of this campaign, whether people like it or not, and I don't like it, is going to be about convincing voters to vote against the other person, not for this person. And that inevitably produces a very ugly campaign.
Trump got a boost in the polls after the Republican convention in Cleveland last week. And now Clinton and the Democrats are hoping for a bump of their own as they shift into general election mode for November. Jim Malone, VOA News, at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia.
VOA's Doug Bernard, also in Philadelphia, now joins us on International Edition. Doug, what was your impression of what the Democrats wanted to achieve at their convention, and did they succeed in doing that?
Well, greetings from Philadelphia. And I think the Democratic Party had really one basic goal. Where we saw in Cleveland a week before among Republicans, the idea was unity. They wanted people to unify around Donald Trump. I think here in Philadelphia, the Democratic Party really, there was always a sense that people were going to unify around Hillary Clinton. I think what they wanted to do was give her the best send-off very possible. So they you know, Hillary Clinton has been a known figure for, these 25 years or so. But what they wanted to do was to try and reintroduce her not as the figure that perhaps people have known politically, but as the more human, more as Bill Clinton said, less of a cartoonish character and more of the full person. That was really their goal at this convention.
Did they achieve it?
Well, we will see. They did their very best. I liken this convention to, putting a kettle on the stovetop and turning up the heat. Monday, with Michelle Obama's address. Tuesday we saw, and these are just the highlights. Tuesday we saw Bill Clinton, really kind of painting that almost love letter to Hillary Clinton, really adding color and dimension, I think, where perhaps it had been lacking. Wednesday, with Vice President Joe Biden and President Obama, really both coming out and not only taking some digs and shots at Donald Trump, but really making the very best case that I think they could possibly make that Hillary Clinton needed to be the next president. And then of course, yesterday and last night's speech by Hillary Clinton was in parts policy speech. And I think that's where she was strongest, and I think that's where she's most comfortable publicly. But she also did try to kind of humanize herself, talking about her family and her, her values and her issues and whatnot. The fact of the matter is that, she still has very high negatives and probably will after this convention among the American public. That just might be baked in. But I think they wanted to maybe, if not change those negatives, then at least convince people that, this is somebody that they could imagine, that they could see as president of the United States. If that was the goal, I think they achieved that.
Number of convention goers came to Philadelphia supporting the Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. They were quite vocal at the start of the convention and then seemingly fell relatively silent. Did Sanders voice support for Clinton quell that push? And do you think we're going to hear from them during the campaign?
Well, as you know, Ira, Philadelphia, known as the city of brotherly love, but in those first couple days, it was looking more like the city of boo, brotherly love. We've heard lots of boos Monday and Tuesday on the convention floor, and they booed everybody. They booed the invocation by the pastor. They booed Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, for heaven's sake.
That's a Philadelphia tradition, Doug.
Well, it is. It's a great Philadelphia tradition. But, of course, these are delegates from everywhere. Interestingly, even last night, you saw one or two moments where during Secretary Clinton's address, all of a sudden these chants on the floor started, Hillary, Hillary. Those didn't just start by accident. What they were actually doing is trying to drown out people who were either booing or chanting Bernie. I think what's happening here is that a lot of the people that Senator Sanders brought into the process are young. Maybe they haven't really participated in a political campaign before. They, by and large, don't really have any sort of allegiance to the Democratic Party. And so, naturally when their candidate, lost, they were disappointed. And, there's that sense of, well, I don't have anywhere else to turn, so I'm just going to kind of boo and make problems. But I think in the end, even with all that, I think in the end, people are going to come to realize that I'm disappointed, I'm hurt, I'm frustrated. But, really, Secretary Clinton is probably, the candidate most close to, you know, I think in the end, the Senator Sanders people are going to largely come home to Secretary Clinton. Some will go off to Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate, but I don't think many. I think it's just a matter of time. I think it's just, you know, hurt feelings. I think they need a little time.
You're on your way home, Doug. Thank you.
Thank you.
Doug Bernard with us right here on International Edition. Andrew Palczewski is with us, as always, and he checks social media, and it must be pretty hot today as far as politics in the U.S. is concerned.
It's been hot for 2 weeks, really, with all the conventions, but especially last night with Hillary Clinton's speech. I want to start with what the Trump team was doing and what some of the people on the right were doing. Trump's digital team had a busy night. Every time Hillary Clinton would give one of these lines saying, I'm, you know, for this or I stand for this, they would shoot out an email refuting it. So there was one picture I saw on Twitter. A reporter had about 20 emails in her inbox, and they were all from the Trump people just blasting out these things. And then Republicans saying that there was this booing going on in the crowd, as Doug mentioned. They were trying to, you know, tweet that out. Trump actually tweeted out, not coincidentally, I'm sure, right as Hillary started her speech, a video from his rally that Jim Lowe mentioned in Iowa with thousands of people surrounding the stage that he was on. So not a coincidence that he tweeted that out. But a lot of tweets that I saw from top Republicans saying that the Democrats did a great job and it makes the GOP look bad, especially after the problems they had at their convention. There's one Republican operative who tweeted out and said that the Democratic convention was an unmitigated disaster for the Republicans, because it was unity, it was patriotism, it was all the things that the Republicans couldn't do in Cleveland. And this is a Republican saying this.
But we have to say now that Donald Trump and his people have been able to, if you want to call it, manipulate social media to somehow turn things toward his side anytime they seem to want to.
Well, this is, you saw this morning, you know, last night the hashtag that was trending was hashtag I'm with her. And there was one trending this morning, hashtag I'm with her now, which is kind of maybe some of the Bernie people trying to consolidate support. And even the Trump supporters took that and said, I'm with her now because she's hit all her emails, and making it kind of sarcastic and trying to turn it against them. So there is a lot of back and forth with some of these hashtags and some of these digital outreach efforts. I do want to talk about one person who kind of stole the show last night, other than Hillary Clinton and other than any of the big names like Barack Obama or Michelle Obama or Joe Biden, and that's Khazir Khan.
Oh, now, by all means.
Khazir Khan, his son, Captain Humayun Khan, was killed in Iraq, and he went up, Khazir Khan and his wife went up on the stage and said that they were proud Muslim Americans, patriotic Muslim Americans. He held up a copy of the Constitution and said, Donald Trump, have you ever even read this? And that moment, people just went crazy with that on social media. Khazir Khan was actually being talked about more on social media after that than Katy Perry, who went and performed.
One of the strongest moments of any convention that I can remember.
Absolutely.
Andrew, thank you. People get in touch with you by...
At APAL on Twitter, APAL.
And me?
VOA Melman.
This is VOA. Among the top stories in the world, reaction to Hillary Clinton's acceptance speech is in. Democrats like it, many Republicans, not so much. An appeal to Russia from the UN for the international body to take over humanitarian duties in Syria. One police officer is dead, another seriously injured in a shooting early Friday in the U.S. city of San Diego, and Florida becomes the first U.S. state to have a local transmission of the Zika virus. Expanded coverage of these stories and more on the VOAnews.com website and on our VOA mobile app. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
A new study of data gathered by the European Space Agency's Rosetta spacecraft has provided new insight into how comets are born. One popular hypothesis suggests comets are the relatively young fragments of what's left after collisions between larger objects in space. The study proposes comets are created with the accumulated remains of material from our solar system's formation some 4.6 billion years ago. Over the last 2 years, Rosetta has been orbiting and studying Comet 67P, Churyumov-Gerasimenko. According to ESA, data gathered by the probe shows that the comet is a double-lobed object that probably was formed by the low-speed collision of two objects. Each of these colliding objects were found to be made up of layers of similar material they had gathered over a long period of time before fusing together. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Do you lead a busy life? Not always able to catch your favorite VOA radio or TV program? If you are keen to stay in touch with world news and events, give VOA Podcasts a try.
VOAnews.com.
Visit our website at VOAnews.com to learn how you can become a subscriber to VOA Podcasts and keep your life up to date.
VOA News, your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA's International Edition. Every once in a while, we at VOA will give in to the opportunity of self-promotion, especially when it's connected to a good story, such as the case with Bino Dirigel. Born and raised in Nepal, he was listening to VOA growing up, especially a program on, at that time, called Talk to America. That led to an intense interest in learning the English language so he could participate in the call-in program. He did that and much more. I talked to him.
English is not a native language, but I just had this desire to learn from the very outset of my life. So even when I came here, English was a struggle. I mean, I understood what people were saying and I could say it, but to be able to be understood by the people, I just had to practice a lot. And believe it or not, I watched lots of Everybody Loves Raymond to learn the language skill here. I think that's one of my tutors here in the U.S.
Tell me from the beginning your progress as far as learning the language is concerned.
What I've done is anytime I don't understand a word, I have a habit of just writing it down. I still have the diary. 20 years ago, I started that. And all these words, I would try to incorporate that in my conversation. So I started with that, and even these days, when I'm reading books and if I'm listening to podcasts and if there's a word that doesn't get through, I pause for a moment, take a moment to I have a OneNote app on my iPhone, so I type everything on that so that I can go back and revisit what I need to know, because that's what I tell my daughter. She's 12 years old, and it's like finding $20 and not picking it up. Words are like that. Because if you can use that word sometime in the future, why not just pick it up when you can right now? So that's how I did it, and did a lot of practice talking myself as well. I think that was one of the reasons why I was pulled to have a conversation with Carol on Talk to America back then. We're talking about 20 years ago. So that's how I started that.
And then how did it evolve that you moved from Nepal to the United States?
I went ahead and started applying starting in 1995, 96, and then in 2004, I just happened to be one of the winners for the diversity visa lottery. My daughter was only 7 months old at the time, so when we came here, we went to Texas because my wife's cousin is there, and she's 12 years old now, so that's how I came here.
So what did the lottery give you?
Basically, all you get is a right to live in the U.S. Legally, and within 3-4 weeks of your coming here, they will mail you your green card. So you have your green card. You don't have to go through. It's extremely hard to get a permanent residence if you are a student or you're in a business or you're on a work visa or a tourist visa. But a green card is basically you just got it because you won a lottery by the virtue of you winning the number. So that's how you get out of that. Well, they don't pay you for your airfare. They don't even, you got to find your own job, and you just have to do everything yourself. But the only thing that you get is you get the right to live in the U.S. as a resident.
So you had to come up with whatever funds were necessary.
And, yeah, I loaned money from my dad at that point, and it took me about 2-3 years to just to get even. And it was a sweet struggle. I've realized that scarcity is a blessing. I'm happy that I was where I was and I became where I am. So it was a good experience coming here with practically nothing. And now I have two daughters and my wife's here. So all of us are here.
So what are you doing now?
So I work for an investment company. I help people with their retirements and things like that. Work for a financial institution right now.
What kind of advice would you give to people listening to us or hearing us overseas as to how they can follow a similar path, if indeed that's what they would like to do?
probably the most important thing that I've seen, the skill that you really want to learn is the ability to be able to articulate yourself. You know, I've seen many people, I've been in the industry for 10, 11 years, and I've seen my friends. So the most important thing is how do you bring that song out of you, of your thought? How do you dress up your thought? Everybody that I know of, they have intelligence inside them. I mean, we're all human beings, right? But how do you bring forth that into other people? How does your raw data or your raw materials inside you that you want to expose out is expressed for people to understand? That's the most important skill that you want to develop. And you don't have to be here to do that. You can just have one radio, and you could be listening to a broadcast or a podcast. Make a habit of not even letting one single word fall between the crack.
Vino, thank you so much. Really appreciate talking to you.
Oh, absolutely. It was my pleasure.
Vino Giro, great story, with us here on International Edition. Thank you so much for being with us. Find us at voanews.com. Like us on Facebook, VOA Now. Follow us on Twitter at VOA_IE. Our director, Patrice Martin. I'm Ira Melvin in Washington. Enjoy your weekend.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The U.S. military, in partnership with the Malawi Defense Force and partner nations, will conduct Southern Accord 2016, a command post exercise in Salima, Malawi, August 1st to the 12th, and a disaster relief tabletop exercise in Lilongwe, Malawi, August 8th to 10th. Southern Accord is an annual joint military exercise that brings together Southern African Development Community partner nations and U.S. Army Africa to conduct operational planning for the United Nations African Union-mandated operation in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Nearly 250 military personnel from 10 nations are expected to participate in this year's exercise. Southern Accord brings together partner nations to practice and demonstrate proficiency in conducting peacekeeping and disaster relief operations. The exercise will include headquarters staff training and peacekeeping and disaster operations scenarios. This exercise will consist of 1 week of classroom-based academics, 1 week of command post training exercise, and a tabletop exercise simultaneously. The goal of Southern Accord 2016 is to increase interoperability and build capacity between U.S. and African militaries, while cementing partnerships built from previous Southern Accord exercises. Once the exercise is complete, all exercise participants will return to their home countries and stations. The Southern Accord exercise is a very important capacity-building exercise for the SADC states because it articulates the objectives of leadership, strategic goals, enhances physical security, and promotes common values, said Colonel C.W. Kachala, the Deputy Chief of Training of the Malawi Defense Force, or MDF. Southern Accord 2016 is another chapter in the course of continued security cooperation between U.S. Army Africa and the MDF. Malawi hosted Southern Accord 2014. U.S. Army Africa also collaborated with the Malawi Defense Force to establish the first senior non-commissioned officers course at the Malawi Armed Forces College. In February, Malawi and the United States signed a military cooperation agreement, setting the framework for continued military cooperation, assistance, and training collaboration. This planning event is an example of how military ties between the U.S. and Malawi continue to gain momentum. As U.S. Ambassador to Malawi, Virginia Palmer, noted, Malawi has a strong record of military discipline, peaceful coexistence, defense of the Constitution, and leadership in supporting regional peace and stability.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.